Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Chaf. We are on Yud Tes Amud Beis. We're starting with the Mishnah. Mishnah over here continues about things that you can and cannot do for an Akum. And the Mishnah has an opening line. This opening line is a controversial opening line in the Mishnah. You'll see why in just a moment it's controversial. First I'll read it, and then I'll explain the controversy. Mishnah starts off, Enosin Tachshit L'Avodah Kochav. You can't make any kind of jewelry for Avodah Zarah. Katlaos and Nezam and Tabaos. You can't make various different types of jewelries, necklaces and rings. And Rabbi Elazar, Omer B'Schar Mutter, and Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Eliezer says, that B'Schar Mutter, that if you're going to get paid, so then it would be permitted. Okay, that is the first line of the Mishnah. Before we go on further in the Mishnah, so this first line of the Mishnah is controversial. So controversial that Tosfos says, take it out. Take it out of the Mishnah. It doesn't belong here. It shouldn't be garsoned. Gorsoned? Gorist. Okay. Anyway, take a look at Tosfos over here. Third Tosfos on the Amud. He gave the keep of the East Farm de Garcinon. Ain Osin Tachshit Lavodas Kochavim Katlos Nezam Vitabas Rabbi Eliezer Omer Mutter. So Tosfos says that there are people who have this Girsa. Achen Yer Delo Garis. But Tosfos says, but what I would do is not be Garis, that line in the Mishnah. Delo Mustaber Shiat Yashum Tana Lasos Lechachil Tachshit Lavodas Kochavim. The idea that there'd be a Tana out there that would allow for the making of jewelry for an Avodah Zarah, he says it doesn't make sense. Lo mustaber. It's just untenable that there would be a Tana out there that would espouse such a position. And maybe, says Tosfos, well, you know, later on, or the Gemara is going to allow a Jewish midwife to deliver non-Jewish children. So there's an Ava consideration, right? Just imagine for a moment the Jewish midwife saying, no, no, thank you. I'm not available. So then you can easily imagine that would lead to Ava. The low dummy to Tosfos says, okay, so there's an allowance made over there, even though you're introducing more over the Avodah Zarah into the world. But there you can easily understand the Ava. The low dummy. The Hazam Vadaika Ava, the Lake Alishtamute. Over there for sure it's going to be Ava, right? The midwife gets a phone call. She says, no, thank you. I'm not going to be delivering today. Okay, that clearly would lead to Ava. But over here, to just simply say thank you, but no thank you, I'll pass on this opportunity of making jewelry for Avodah Zarah. Like, in other words, that's, you know, Tosfos thinks that's going to be, that'll be received. And that won't lead to Ava. And then maybe Tosfos says, here's maybe how you want to read this line of the Mishnah. Not that lechatchila you're allowed to do so, but if you do so, the gains that you've gotten, the profit that you made, is you're allowed to keep. So the Gemara says, "Dimkein hainu Rebbe Elazar ha'amora." The Gemara damer im banas char muta. But the Tosfos says, "But that's the Amora," meaning Rebbe Elazar, the Amora, who we just finished off yesterday's daf learning, says that if you build avodah zarah, if you build tashmishi avodah zarah, so b'diavad the schar that you gained is muta. So now you're telling me that the Mishnah is teaching me what the Amora taught me? That doesn't make sense. And why didn't the Amora quote the Mishnah? And the answer is because there was no such Mishnah. And then finally, Tosfos points out, Venira, Shalaya Kasuba Sefer Rabbi Nishlama Midolo Pirish my Katlos. And then he makes a great diak in Rashi. You know, Rashi also didn't have this line in the Mishnah. How do I know that, says Tosfos? Because there was an opportunity to explain one of the words of the Mishnah, and Rashi didn't explain it. And Tosfos says, that's not like Rashi. Rashi had a chance to explain something and he didn't explain it. He says it's someone like Rashi. Rashi didn't have the girsa as well. It's a funny deal. But Tosfos makes it. Also, by the way, I'll point out, and by the way, the Gaon also agrees with Tosfos, meaning this line doesn't belong in the Mishnah. Let's not be garis that line of the Mishnah. And then another point, which Tosfos doesn't make, but I think it's a salient point. That is, the Gemara doesn't comment on this line of the Mishnah altogether. Meaning the Gemara is immediately going to go to the next line of the Mishnah. Now that's not an ironclad point. That's not an ironclad proof. Many times the Gemara is just simply pass on some Mishnayos and doesn't comment on the Mishnah, especially when the Mishnah is self-evident. But if this Mishnah is making such a controversial comment, you don't think the Gemara is going to make a comment on it? Okay. So anyway, so I think that also could be added to this discussion. And okay, I could be, but I'm saying Tosfos says take it out. It doesn't belong here. Okay, so according to Tosfos, now where does the Mishnah begin? So now this is where the Mishnah begins according to Tosfos. Huh?
Rabbi Lezer never said it.
Don't according to Tosfos. Don't be gorus it. According to the Gaon, it's out. Okay, so here's where the mission now begins. Ein mochel lem b'mochel b'lakarki. Cannot sell them anything that that's connected to the ground, otherwise known as real estate. However, if let's say you want to sell them a tree, so after you cut the tree, after you cut the tree, so then you're allowed to sell them something that's already been cut. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mochru Amanas Likots, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't have to actually cut. In other words, as long as you agree that I'm selling you the tree, but in other words, right now it's attached, we're going to detach it. So as long as it's Amanas, as long as it's on condition, so then you can sell them trees, even if they are not yet cut from the ground, as long as you plan on cutting them from the ground. Okay. So, and we'll come back to that machlokas at the end of the entire sugya. Minah and Emili, we are starting now. The Gemara starts this discussion with Ein Mochrim Lemba B'Mechubalakarka. You're not allowed to sell them property. Why not? Why can you not sell them property? So I'm Rav Yossi Rabbi Chanina. I'm across. So the Gemara here focuses on a pasuk. Pasuk is found in Perek Zayin of Devarim. I'm reading more of the pasuk than we have over here. The Gemara only here gives us two words of the pasuk. Pasuk goes on to say, Ki yivech Hashem lekech al ha'aretz asher ata b'Hashem l'rishta, v'nashal goyim rabim mipanecha. So there are going to be many, many goyim over there as you enter into Eretz Yisrael. And lo sichros lahem bris. So you're not allowed to make any kind of treaty with them. And lo sechanim. And lo sechanim. Now what does that mean, lo sechanim? So the Gemara is going to explain this to mean one of three things. The first of the three is relevant to our discussion. So the Gemara says, lo sechanim, lo sechitin lahem chaniya bekarka. Don't give them chaniya bekarka. Right? You're driving around Israel and you're looking for a place to park. So what do you look for? You look for chaniya. So, but over here, though, it's more than just a parking spot. Over here, chaniya meaning land. In other words, lo sitein lahem chaniya bekarka. You're not allowed to give them a piece of land. Now, in the context of the pasuk, which I just read, so it sounds like that this issur is limited to Eretz Yisrael. And as you'll see in tomorrow's daf, that seems to be the simple pshat in the pasuk and in the gemara as well. That this is limited to Eretz Yisrael, that you're not allowed to sell them land in Eretz Yisrael. But the svar behind it is very simple. Meaning that if we're going to make a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael, and when we want to keep Eretz Yisrael on a certain madrega with a certain amount of kedusha, so we also want to be autonomous, and we want to have our own, and we want to have a political position in Eretz Yisrael, so don't sell them land in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning keep the land by us. So that's number one. Lo titen lem chaniya bekark. Dilo techanim. I'm sorry. So the Gemara says, but wait one second. There are going to be two other points that we're going to learn from the pasuk. One is lo sitein lahem chein. What does that mean? Rashi says that we're going to see it in the Gemara in just a moment, but I'll read the Rashi. It's the first Rashi in the Amud. Shelo yomer kama ovi kochavim zena'e. Okay, you can't talk about the beauty of an ovi kochavim. You can't outwardly compliment an ovi kochavim. As we'll see in just a moment, as we get through the Gemara today, it means directly to him. Meaning, if you want to mention it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, you did good work over there, so that's fine. But in other words, but directing the compliment towards the Ovei Kochavim, that you're not allowed to do. And we learn that from Lo Sichanim. Lo Sichanim comes from the word Chaim. So Imkin, let me call Lo Sichunam. If the Torah wanted to communicate this idea to us, that you're not allowed to compliment, the Torah would have written it Lo Sichunam, generated from the Shorish of Chaim. My Lo Sichanim. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah writes it in this grammatical form, Shema Minat Tarte, so we make both points over here. V'akal to me by le'dachem erachman of the Gemara says, it's really a third point to be made from the same pasuk. And lo sitem lahem matna shochinam. You're not allowed to give them a free gift. So free gifts also comes from the lo sechanim. So im kein lahem akor lo sechinam. If the entire point of the pasuk was just simply that you're not allowed to give them a free gift, the Torah would have written it with the syntax, with the nekudos of lo sichinam, from the word chinam, free. So my lo sichanim, shma mina akulu. So from the fact that the Torah wrote it lo sichanim, so all three points are generated from this one word. I know generally speaking we generally cap ourselves at one halacha per word in the Torah. And so yes, this is a little bit unusual where now we are having three halachas. You could make the argument, I guess, you know, I could try to make the argument that all three of these points are necessarily connected to one another. Okay, but however you want to explain it, but there are three separate halachas being learnt out from this pasuk. One, you're not allowed to sell them property, and again, I'll put in parentheses in Eretz Yisrael, and you'll see in tomorrow's daf. That's pretty clear. That's in Eretz Yisrael. Two, that you're not allowed to give them a compliment to them, and three, you're not allowed to give them matnas shochina. Now, there's another general discussion to be had over here, and that is, are we talking about the Shiva Amamim, or are we talking about all Goyim? And this is always one of those tricky questions, which it's not super clear from the context. Meaning, if you read from the Pesukim of the Torah, Kivi Achashem Lekech, I'm going back to the Pesuk, I'm reading the Pesuk once again, Kivi Achashem Lekech Al Aretz Asher Atah Basham L'Rishta, Menashal Goyim Rabim Mipanecha, Lo Sichros Lahem Bris, that's the Shiva Amamim, you're not allowed to make a peace treaty with them, and lo sechanim. So in context, meaning if I'm reading the pasuk in context, it sounds like we're talking about the Zion Amamim, the seven Canaanite nations. Tosis on the very top of the Amud says, you don't have to say that. Even though the context of the pasuk seems to indicate that, you don't have to say that. The Tosis on the very top. So Tosis says over here that as far as complimenting, as far as giving free gifts, so this is expanded to all of the kochavim. And you'll see. In other words, as we go through the shakla v'tar of the Gemara, as we run through the Gemara, you'll see that's pretty much the pshat of the Gemara. V'kashu da'alos echaneim b'sheva umos dafka k'siv dichsiv v'nashal goyim rabim mipanecha hachite v'chulei. And again, if you look at the pasuk in context, it's clearly talking about the sheva amamim. Sorry, I know I'm reading a lot of Tosfos over here. Daha haikra b'zayin umos k'siv v'chein lo lo sechai kol neshama. So again, without getting into all the details, it seems pretty clear, more than pretty clear. It seems very clear that contextually the Torah is talking about the Zion Amamim, and it's not talking about all the Goyim. V'yeshlamer divided b'chol hanach kray ika taima rabba delo matzina leukminan ela b'zayin umos. V'lo sechai kol nashama leka lukmen b'shar umos. D'behejik zibu v'ayu lecha lamatzva v'decha v'chein ki yasir l'rabbanan delo darshi taima dekra svaruhu leukmen b'sheva umos. Tosfos basically goes on the following argument, which is that basically you have to find compelling reason. Meaning, if we're talking specifically about the Zion Amamim, there's going to be a compelling reason why we're talking specifically about the Zion Amamim. But if there's no compelling reason, so then it broadens out and it talks about all the Ovdi Kochavim. Shari kol shar umos mutarim lava bekal begerem chutz mi osam sha'asar kasav mitzri amoni amoavi aval. But these prohibitions that we're describing, selling land in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, providing compliments, giving manos chinam, giving free gifts, there's no reason over here that we should be selective and say that this only applies to Zayin Amamim, and it doesn't apply to all of the Kochavim. So basically, Tosfos over here operates with the following assumption, and that is that, yes, contextually it's talking about the Zion Amamim, but the only time I say it's limited to Zion Amamim is when there's a compelling reason. If there's no compelling reason and there's a simple svara that broadens out to all of the Kochavim, so then we do broaden out to all of the Kochavim. And again, as we go through today's daf, you'll see the Gemara understands clearly that it applies to all of the Kochavim, these particular Yisurim. Continuing now, back to the Gemara. Gemara says, we just got up to the word kulu, shema mina kulu, tanyina mihachi. We're on Chaf Amud Aleph, we're about 10 lines from the top of the Amud, and lo sechanim is the first words in the line. Tanyina mihachi, we learned in the Brisa, lo sechanim, lo sitin lehem chaniya bekarka. Don't give them land in Eretz Yisrael, davar achel lo sechanim, lo sitin lehem chen. Don't give them compliments, davar achel lo sechanim, lo sitin lehem manas chinam. Don't give them free gifts, manas chinam gufa tanayi. Now the Gemara says on this third point of not giving them free gifts, this is subject to a machlokas ha-tanayim. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes now the Braisa. The Braisa over here talks about what to do with a nevela. Well, before the Braisa talks about what to do with a nevela, truth be told is that the Torah tells us what to do with a nevela. Any animal that's not given a proper shechita and it dies, so the animal now is a nevela. As such, so we, you and I can't eat it. It's treif. Now, we use the word treif in the colloquial just simply meaning anything that we cannot allow to eat. Technically, the animal's not a treif. It's not a treifa. It's a nevela. But in other words, I'm just, you know, I'm speaking the way we all speak. It's treif. You're not allowed to eat it. So, but the animal is considered nevela. It's a law in the Torah. It's a prohibition, negative prohibition in the Torah not to eat a nevela. And what do you do now with a nevela that you can't eat? So there are a number of things you could do with it, including, by the way, feeding it to your dog. But because it's a nevela is mutter ba'ana, you're allowed to get benefit from it. You just can't eat it. So, but what do you do with it? So the Torah gives one of two options in terms of what to do with it. Again, I turn to the pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah reads, hold on. I know it's here. Here we go. So, lo sochlu. This is Devarim Perik Dalin. Perik Yud Dalin. Okay, I'm straining my eyes today. Lo sochlu kol nevela, lager shiba sherecha titnenu va'achla. So the Torah gives one of two options of what to do with the nevela. So either, lager shiba sherecha titnenu va'achla, you give it to the ger. Now the ger obviously over here does not mean a full convert. Because a full convert is bound by all the mitzvahs in the Torah like you and I are. The ger over here is talking about a ger toshav. So you have a resident alien living in Eretz Yisrael, and he accepts upon himself not to be over to Avodah Zarah, and according to some Rishonim, he commits himself to all Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. So now he's a Ger Toshav. So good, so he's a resident alien. As such, so we have an obligation, we'll talk about it in just a moment in the Gemara, we have an obligation to take care of him. So if you have a Nevela, so give it to the Ger. Gift it to the Ger. Titnen of Achla O, Machor l'nachri. The other option, says the Torah, is or sell it to a non-Jew. Ki am kadosh atal Hashem lokecha lo sevash gadi b'chalev imo. Okay, that's Parsha 3a. So now, back to our Gemara. Our Gemara is now going to note the following machlokes hatanayim, detanya. Lo sochlu kol nevela ger shebashurecha tenena v'achla o machor l'nachri. Ein li ala l'ger b'nesin lo v'kocham v'mechira. Now, from the Torah, direct instructions are, the clear instructions of the Torah are one of two options. Either gift it to a ger toshav, or sell it to a guy. Now, what about, can I gift it to a guy? Can I sell it to a ger? So, la ger b'mechir minayin, tamalamar titneno o machor. La ove kochavim. I'm sorry, titneno o machor. So the Gemara says, according to the first opinion, which in a moment we're going to see is the opinion of Reb Meir, is that, yeah, you can sell it to a you could sell it to a guy because you could sell it to a ger. Sorry, you could sell it to a ger. Ger b'mechira minayin tamalamar titneno o machor. Meaning, basically, what we're going to do is we're going to move the comma. Meaning, generally speaking, we put the comma right by the word o. But what we could do is we could shift the comma over, and then we could read the pasuk of titneno o machor lo v'koch. I'm sorry, titneno machor. You can either gift or sell it to a ger, and the converse also would be true. How about gifting it to a guy? Once again, we're going to shift the comma. So now you can either gift it or sell it to a guy. Fine. So according to Rav Meir, these options are interchangeable, where I can either gift or sell it to a ger, or I could gift or sell it to a guy. Comes out very clearly now, according to Rav Meir, I'm allowed to gift the nevela to a guy. Now, we learned a moment ago, you're not allowed to give free gifts to a guy. So, clearly, Rav Meir argues on that point, which is exactly what the Gemara wants to show us. That Rav Meir argues on that point. And Rav Yehuda Omer Dvarim Kichsavam. And Rav Yehuda says, no, you take the pasuk literally. And you follow the instructions of the Torah clearly. Dvarim Kichsavam, Lager B'Nesin, L'Avikocham B'Mechira. So, and dvarim kichsavam, meaning you do it as the Torah just instructs. You only gift it to a ger, you only sell it to a guy. Now, Shapik, I'm a Rav Meir, now the Gemara says, now Rav Meir reads the pasuk, and a shifting of the comma seems to be, the Gemara starts off, fine, it seems to be legitimate. Rav Yehuda Melcha, Isa Gedachi Kedagam, Rav Meir Lechtov Rechman, Tidnen of Achla, Mechor. Yeah, if you want, if the Torah was really interested in having a moving comma where the comma could be shifted, the Torah would have said titnena v'achla u'mechor with a vav as a conjunction, and then the comma could shift from word to word. O lamali, why does the Torah add the word o? The Torah's insertion of the word o, which is extraneous, could it just simply put a vav there, is to clearly make a demarcation between the gifting and the selling. Shema minal, dvarim kichzav amhuda asa. It must be that the Torah is there to give us very clear instruction, according to Rabbi Huna, either gift it to a guy or sell it to, sorry, either gift it to a ger or sell it to a guy. Now, Rameir says, look, I agree with you, the O is significant. But do you know what the O is coming to teach us? Not dvarim kichzavam, but rather kedima. Which should come before what? Let's say I have two options in front of me. I can either gift it to a ger, or I could sell it to a guy. So you should first gift it to the ger and then sell it to the... And then, if that option doesn't present itself, then you'll have to sell it to a guy. Rav Yehuda came into ger as atamitzuv l'achiyoso, ukanani atamitzuv l'achiyoso, lakim l'tzarech kra. And Rav Yehuda would say, in countering that would be, that's what the Torah is coming to teach me. I already know that point. The Torah says, we quoted the pasuk earlier, that the... No, we didn't quote the pasuk earlier, but anyway, it's the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. The Rashi here quotes it, v'chayimach, meaning that when you have a ger toshav, so we are responsible for taking care now of the ger. So the fact that we first, if we have an option of either gift the nevela to a ger or sell it to a goy, so then for sure I should gift it to the ger because we have an obligation v'chayimach. So Rabbi Yehuda says back to Rabbi Meir, if what you're learning out over here is kedima from the word, oh, we already know that. So therefore, what is the O coming to teach me? Dvarim kichzavam. What do we have over here? A basic machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. What do you do with a nevela? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's one or the other. Either I gift it to the ger or I sell it to the goy. But in other words, but you cannot, those paths cannot cross. And according to Rabbi Meir, no, I have options. I can gift or sell it to the ger, I can gift or sell it to the goy. And the only reason why the Torah inserts the words oh is just simply telling me that if I have an option, I should rather gift it to the ger rather than sell it to the goy. Tosfos over here, third from the bottom, asks a wonderful question. Is the Torah really telling me that if I have a business opportunity, I can't take advantage of a business opportunity? Meaning, in other words, the Torah is a big believer in free market. And so, in other words, I have an avela and I have an opportunity to sell it. And rather than sell it, I have to give it away. Third toast is on the bottom. Remeir ha'ud tzrich l'gdum in nesin l'ger l'mechir dovi kochavim. V'im tamar v'chi im yesh lo la'adam chefetz limkor yinenu l'ger konish yim kren lo vi kochavim v'alo v'il yisrael ainu mitzuvakach. I understand, right? If there's another Jew involved and I have either a selling opportunity or a gifting opportunity, you're telling me I should gift it rather than sell it? Meaning it's a free market. If I want to sell something, I could sell it. If there's a market for it, so go ahead and sell it. And I'm now instructed of the Torah that I have to give it away. So Tosfos says, V'yesh lamar, it's an interesting answer. V'yesh lamar d'davka nevela she'enu shave ela davar muat. L'yisrael shalo hayu avti kochav mitzuyim b'neim. V'lagir haya shave harbe kishar basar. So Tosfos says, maybe that's why we're talking specifically about nevela. What's the market for nevela? It's not good. In other words, no one's going to be really demanding nevela. So the demand is really low. Demand's really low, so you're not going to be fetching a lot for it. So now you're not talking about making any kind of serious money. So now if you're not talking about making any serious money, so under those circumstances, give it to the ger. And don't sell it. Because your selling is not going to give you a real business opportunity. But enechinami, Tosfos is basically saying, but if you're looking at a real business opportunity, so of course, in other words, if you have a chance to make money, by all means, you should turn into a business opportunity. Davar Acher, back to the Gemara. We are in the second wide line. Lo sechanem lo tinen lahem chen. So don't give them a compliment. Meseila l'rav, damarav asolad, mishar mekamen avodas kochavim zu. So you're not allowed to say how nice is this avodas kochavim, the mezve. Now the Gemara over here challenges based on the following, a braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel was on the steps of the Har Habayis. Avodas Kochavim. Achas Na'eb Yoser. And he sees a very attractive Avodas Kochavim. Ama Marabu Masech Hashem. And so he says, Marabu Masech Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're doing excellent work down here. The Af Rabbi Akiva Ra Ishas Tanus Rufus Arasha. Rabbi Akiva, another episode tells us the Braisa. Rabbi Akiva sees the wife of Tanus Rufus. And Rak Sachak Ubacha. So I had three reactions. He spit, he then laughed, and then he cried. So Rak Shahai Sabah Mitipasrucha. So just to remind himself that
that even though she's very attractive and obviously there's the Yetzer Hara over there, but where does she come from? Right? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that if you keep reminding ourselves where we come from, so it'll humble us. So Rabbi Akiva, so as not to get too excited, so he reminds himself that she comes from Tipas Rucha. And Sachak Gatita de Megaire, Venasivla. And laughed because of the irony, because that's really what's funny. What's funny is ironic. And the irony is that he's going to end up marrying her. She's going to convert, and he's going to end up marrying her, and he knows this via Ruach HaKodesh. And Bacha Dai Shufra Bale Afra. And as far as the crying is concerned, so because he knows that eventually what's going to happen is that, and it happens to all of us, is that we're all going to go underground and we're all going to return back to dirt, and so much for the beauty. So, right now that's the end of the Braisa. So what bothers the Gemara right now is that you're not allowed to compliment a guy. And meanwhile, we see here in the Braisa, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, sees the attractive Avodas Kochavim, and he says, Ma Rabu Masech Hashem. How could you do that? In other words, you're not allowed to give a compliment. Udu Yitakamode. Da Amra Mar Robrias Tovas Omar Baruch Shikacha Bara Ba'olamo. So the Gemara says, well, no, he wasn't complimenting her. He was basically saying he was being moded to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you did wonderful work over there. In fact, it's the Mishnah Brachos. The Mishnah Brachos says in the ninth parak that you see somebody beautiful, so you should say, you should make a bracha. Kacha bara ba'olamo. Okay. So that takes care of the not paying any compliments to a guy. He wasn't paying a compliment to the guy. He was complimenting the creator. Now the Gemara says, okay, but there's another issue, and I'm sure everyone here was thinking about it. Okay, looking at women. You're not allowed to look at women. So the Gemara says, Ulustakule Mishari. So the Gemara says, Histaklus is Asur, Mesve. So Ulustakule Mishari, is it permitted to be Mistakle? You're not allowed to look at women. Mesve, the Gemara quotes a Braisa of Nishmatami called Avara. So the Torah says that you should be very careful and you should protect yourself from seeing these things. Shala Histakle Adam Bishana. So a person's not allowed to look at a woman. Vafila Panuya. Okay, we're good. You're by the answer already, but that's good. Ve'afila penuya. I'm sorry. Be'ishana ve'afila penuya be'ishasish. So the. I'm sorry. The ve'afila penuya, and even if she's not married, so she's not an heir to you, but still, istaklus is going to be also for reasons which we're going to explain in just a moment. And be'ishasish afila mucharis, and let's say she's married and she's not particularly attractive. You still there's an issur of istaklus. Velobe big date seva, shell isha, top of chafamid beis, and not a big date seva, not on the clothing of a woman. Velobe chamor, velobe chamora, velobe chazir, velobe chazira, velobe ofos bezman shen iskaken zelaze. And you're not allowed to look at animals as they're mating with one another. Ve'afila malo einaim kamal chamaves, and even if it's right in front of you. And like the Malachamavis, it's a strange way to describe it, but the Gemara says, you know the Malachamavis has eyes all over the place. He's everything. The Amru Allah Malachamavis, and the Braisa, as long as it made that comment regarding the Malachamavis, so the Braisa just for a moment just takes us on a little bit of a tangent regarding the Malachamavis. Shikula Male Anayim, that the Malachamavis is Kulo Einayim. In other words, it's got eyes all over the place. And Bishat Pateros Shachola, and when the sick person is on his way out, Ome Me'amar Ashasav, the Malachamavis is standing right over his head, V'chab Rishulfa B'yado. And the sword is in his hands. V'tipa shomar tulu yabo, and he's got some sort of drop of whatever you want to call it, poison medicine that's on the tip of the sword. Kevin shechola reu asam is dazeo posech piv, and then the cholo sees the malchamavis and he opens his mouth. V'zor kol soch piv, and that drop goes right into his mouth. And mimena mace, mimena masriach, mimenu panav marikos. And from that drop, so the body starts decomposing. First the person dies, then the body starts decomposing, and the face starts to not swell. What's the opposite of swell?
Wither.
Right, wither. Okay. So, but anyway, okay. And ad kan divrei habraisa. But anyway, what comes out over here from this braisa is as follows: histaklus is aser. Now, histaklus is aser, and we'll see in just a moment the Gemara over here. The Gemara in just a little bit is going to explain that. Obviously, histaklus it only entices the Yetzer Hara. It's fuel for the fire for the Yetzer Hara, and the Gemara is going to be very clear in just a moment in terms of what potential problems that could lead to, aside from the obvious. Meaning, in other words, the obvious is that you'll be seduced by that which you're looking at. But even beyond that, there are other issues as well as the Gemara itself is going to point out. But in the meantime, however, so we have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who sees an Avodas Kochavim and compliments the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Rabbi Kiva with the wife of Tirnas Rufus. But the truth of the matter is, I think the Gemara is more questioning Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who's standing on Har Habayis and looking out, and he sees this beautiful Avodas Kochavim. So the Gemara's answer is very simple, Karen Zavitz Havai. So the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was turning a corner. So in other words, no, he wasn't looking out to look at the beautiful women. In other words, he's walking, he turns a corner, and then, right there, so there's a Avodas Kochavim. So he notices. But in other words, but the gaze, the stockless is the gaze, so that's Aser. But in other words, at the same time also, we're here on this earth, and we walk, and you know, we look up, and okay. And so if you happen to see, you happen to see it. But in other words, but the stockless, the Aser stockless, is to go out of your way to gaze at beautiful women. So the Gemara says, V'lo b'bigdei tzeva shel isha amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel afilu shituchin agabe kosel. Now, if the woman's not wearing the clothing, but the clothing is hanging up to dry, shouldn't look at the clothing. Amar Rav Papa uvimakir ba'alehen. Yes, it's true, says Rav Papa, that it's also, but you know the owner of that clothing. So in other words, it fuels your imagination. Amar Rav Adekan amid diktan v'lo b'bigdei tzeva isha. If you read the Brisa carefully, you see that in the Brisa. The Brisa says, lo b'bigdei tzeva isha, a woman. V'lo k'tani v'lo b'bigdei tzeva onim. It doesn't just simply say clothing. It says the clothing of a woman. Shema mina. So actually, this halacha is encrypted in the Brisa. Am Rav Chista hani mila ba'atikei ava b'chati le'san ba. Now, Rav Chista says, all this is good. All this is usher. Sorry, let me correct myself. All this is usher if it's atike, if it's already been worn by a woman. So once again, it gives you now the picture where it fuels your imagination. But if it's a new article of clothing, so then there's no problem with it. Dilo tema achi anan mana la ashpure hechi yavinan. You have to say that because, you know, what we do is we give our clothing to the launderer. And what are we going to do? You want to tell me that we're going to give our clothing to the launderer and be machshel him and have him stumble over the sister of his stockless? Now, to really understand and appreciate the Gemara's question over here, so back then there was it was clearly the practice where even brand new clothing was handed to the launderer. In other words, the brand new clothing was too starched, it was too, it wasn't really wearable. Until you give it to the launderer, he gave it a good wash and now became wearable. So, how can you give that clothing to the launderer? So the Gemara right now is thinking to itself, oh, I know why, because it's never been worn before. And if it's never been worn before, it's not awesome. So hakem istakel l'tamecha, damer Rav Yehuda min b'mino mutalachnis b'machol shoferes, hakem istakel. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'll tell you what. As far as the launderer is concerned, it's not a kasha. Because the Gemara says, let me ask you another kasha. You know, there are farmers out there. Actually, no one. He's a wonderful person, lives in Hollywood. So if you're on the farm, so part of your job is to make sure that animals mate. And so you can be involved in the actual mating process. And even if that means that you're actually going to take a male and female and put them together, in other words, but on the farm, if that's your job, so that's what you do. And there's no problem with it whatsoever. Now, the Gemara says, what about his stockless? What about the Aser stockless? So the Gemara's answer, Ela be'avidate tarit. The Gemara says, yeah, but he's a professional. Meaning, this is his job. This is what he does. So in other words, for him, he does not view it as something which is lustful, desire. In other words, this is what he does. This is his work. So therefore, the farmer is allowed to mate animals. Therefore, a launderer is allowed to clean clothing. It's women's clothing. No, it's why he's a launderer. He's a professional. That's what he does. So hachanami ba'avidate tarid. So the Gemara says, so the truth of the matter is that your diuk that you made, it's new women's clothing given to the launderer. It must be okay. No, even if it's not new women's clothing. Meaning ba'avidate tarid. The person is working. This is his job. He's a professional. So the Gemara says, so under those circumstances, it would be okay. Amar mar. Mimeno mace. Okay, so in the Brisa that we quoted on the top of the Amud, so the Brisa made a passing comment about the Malach HaMavis, and how does he put somebody to death? So the Gemara gives us a very, really powerful imagery, scary imagery, of the sword in his hand with the tipa on the sword, and right before death, the tipa goes into the mouth. So the Gemara says, now that description is not exactly in agreement with another description. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar Mimeno mace, name a pligi d'avu d'shmuel, d'amar avu d'shmuel. So the Gemara gives us a slightly different description reported by the father of Shmuel. Amali Malach HaMavis. So the father of Shmuel tells us that he had a conversation with the Malach HaMavis. And Elo Dechashin Liyikar Debriyasa. And had it not been the Malach HaMavis, I could call this a comical conversation. But the Malach HaMavis says, you know, I'm worried about Kavod HaBrios. Okay, that's one of my concerns, right? You covered the briyasa, what we would call covered abriyas. And therefore, have a parana base ashchita kebehema. So you know how I would kill everybody? I would kill everybody by opening up their neck like shchita. In other words, I would basically shech every person, but I can't do that because of covered abriyas. It's not right that you should do that with a human body. Okay, good. So, but in other words, but it sounds like the method of attack of the Malchum Avis is to go for the jugular, to go for the neck. So the Gemara says, Dama itipa mechatcha lu lisimanim. So the Gemara says, okay, but it's not a kasha. Meaning, the way the Brisa described it and the way the Malchum Avis told Avur Deshmul is basically consistent with one another. Because where does the drop go? It enters the mouth, but it goes down the throat. And then it cuts the simanim. So the Gemara says, and that's very similar to what the Malchum Avis told Avur Deshmul. Meaning, I go right from the neck, but covered up here, so I can't go from the neck. Mimenu masriach. And the Gemara here talks about decomposition. The Gemara says it comes from this tipa srucha, from the tipa of the Malchum Avis. Misayel el Rabbi Chanina bar Kahana, damer Rabbi Chanina bar Kahana, ame beirav, arotze shelo yasriach meso yavchenu apanav. The Gemara says if you want to try to prevent decomposition, so what you do is you take the body right after death, and you flip over the body, and that'll prevent decomposition. Because again, based on the way the Brisa described it, where the tipa is coming in through the mouth, so if you turn the body over, it halts the tipa from entering into the body, and so therefore it retards the decomposition process.
Maybe it means that if you see a person who's about to die, turn him over.
No, you're not right. So a person's a ghost, says you're not allowed to touch the person. Any acceleration of the death process is ritzicha. So that's no. Tana Rabbanan, v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, shelo yirar adam b'yom v'yavo lidei tumah b'layla. As I mentioned earlier, the Gemara here talks about what are the considerations regarding gestaklus. So the Gemara over here, the Brisa over here spells it out. That v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, you should be careful. In other words, guard yourself from what you see. Because if you have a hirhurim during the day, it'll lead to tumah at night. So you'll have nocturnal emissions at night. And the Gemara says, and the Brisa says, it's a Brisa. So the Brisa says, and as a result of that, you'll be in violation of Hashchata Zera. So, Mikan Amar Pinchas Ben Yair. And as a result of this, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says, so basically what you're going to do is, you're going to move up from one level to another, from one Madriga to another, to the point where you're going to be a pure individual, an Adam Kadosh. And over here, you're going to, as we go through the progressions of moving from one level of Tahara to the next level of Tahara, you're going to say to yourself, hey, this sounds familiar. And it does sound familiar because this Brisa over here is the basis, it's the entire outline of the famous work of Masilas Yesharim. Just recently I quoted, I was looking a little bit into the Ramchal recently. So Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, so he was born in Italy and eventually moved to Amsterdam. So he died very young. He died at 39 years of age. That detail is so remarkable. What he accomplished in that short lifetime. So he was a Musar giant. He's not given credit for being the father of the Musar movement. But he wrote the Masilas Yesharim. The Masilas Yesharim is basically it details how we keep improving upon ourselves and we move from one level to the next. The outline for where he gets it from is this Gemara right over here. The Gemara over here is mentioned twice. This price is mentioned twice. It's mentioned over here in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf, and also it's mentioned in Shkalim. There's a slight, it's slightly variant the way it's presented over here and the way it's presented in Shkalim. I'll note one difference because Tosfos over here points it out. So in other words, the Gemara Shkalim, by the way, we learned in the Daf Yomi, but that was a long time ago, the Gemara Shkalim. So let's read it over here, and then I'll note some basic differences. Ketan Rabbanim Mishmata Mikol Davar, I read that already. Mikan Amar Pinchas Ben Yair. So the Gemara over here gives us the Brice over here gives us over in the name of Pinchas Ben Yair that Torah Mivila Dei Zihiras. That step number one is Torah, and Torah brings us to Zihiras. What does that mean? So I'm going to go through Rashi over here. If you want to see much more in this, much more in all this, so. One of the best sources, of course, is read the Masilas Yesharim. Masilas Yesharim takes us through what are the definitions of all these different types of attributes. But for our purposes right now in the daf, I'll cover Rashi. Rashi, Torah. Ayideh she'osek ba va'od she'ro ha'mevin azharu she'ba v'nishmar. So Rashi says that Torah is going to make you careful. So the way Rashi describes it here is just simply to be more careful, more conscientious. So Torah mevili day zehiras. Zehiras mevili day zrizas. And by being more careful, so you're going to be more zariz. What does that mean? Again, I look at Rashi. Zariz v'nishmar konim l'chein shalot tavo aver liado. Ki hacha de'enu mahara lavo lidei tuma. In other words, then you'll be more zariz. Zariz means that you'll be even more careful, meaning anticipate. Meaning so that not only when the aver presents itself, you're going to not do the avera, but actually with a little more forethought, you'll actually make sure to plan not to do an avera. Rashi says, like the example right over here in our Gemara, meaning that if you're mistakel during the day, so that will lead to avera. So knowing that istaklus leads to avera, so you avoid the istaklus, and that way you'll avoid the avera. Continuing in the Gemara, zrizus mevi'ali day nikias. So the zrizus will lead to nikias. So Rashi describes nikias over here as naki be'ein chet. In other words, and now you'll be free and clear of any sins. Nikias mevi'ali day precious. Now it will lead to precious. Rashi, af midavar hamutter parish lahachmi alatzmo. So now, once you're at this level of precious, now you're going to be taking on things that are mutter, but now you're already, in other words, you already covered the basics, so now you're ready for the next step, which is that you will start leading a slightly more ascetic life. Things which are mutter to you, you'll abstain from doing. Precious mevi'ali day tahara. Precious leads to now a state of tahara. Rashi, tzach umuluban v'adif minaki. So it's even a more pristine state. It's even a step beyond being just simply naki. Tahara mevi'ali day. Now, we have over here, in the Gemara, we have the word chasidus, but it's Rashi over here seems to have the girsa of kedusha. Sorry. Tahara mevi'ali day. Yes. It's okay. Could be chasidus, it could be kedusha. Okay. Right, okay. Okay, fine. And so chasidus mevi'ali de anava. Chasidus comes before anava. And anava over here, humility. Anava mevi'ali de yerachet. Anava leads to Yerushchet. Now, Yerushchet's interesting because Yerushchet, you could have easily put on early in the stage. Yerushchet over here must be some sort of accelerated or, right, exceptional level of fear of sin. Yerushchet mevi'ali de Kedusha. Yerushchet leads to Kedusha, and Kedusha mevi'ali de Ruach HaKodesh, ultimately leading a person to Ruach HaKodesh, and Ruach HaKodesh mevi'ali de Tchias HaMesim. And eventually it will lead to Tchias HaMesim. Right. In other words, right. It's an advanced level of awareness. So v'chasidus gedula mikulan, and chasidus is above all. Shenamar az dibarti bechazon lechasidecha. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, he appears to the chasidim. So in other words, the level of chasidus is above all. Upligid Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and the Gemara points out that this argues on Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Because I'm Rav Yeshua ben Levi, anava gedula mikulan. That anava is greater than all of them. Shenema ruach Hashem lokim alayan, mashach Hashem, osi, levasir anavim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and who am I going to inform? I'm going to be mevasir anavim. I'm going to be informing the humble ones. Rav Yeshua ben Levi puts humility above all. Chasidim lo nemar al anavim. The diak very simple. Doesn't say chasidim. It says anavim. So halamata shanava gedula mikulan. So you see that anava is above all. Tosus over here points out it's the second Tosus on the Amud. Anava mivele de yerachet b'yerushal medishkalim garis ipcha yerachet mivele de anava. In terms of where your yerachet goes, so our gears on the Gemara is that anava brings us to yerachet. In the yerushal medishkalim, flip those. It's that Yerushchet leads to Anava. So, in other words, like I said, slight discrepancies between the way it's presented here in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah versus the way it's presented in Shkalim. Tosfos points out, okay, but we already know it's a Machlokas. The Kasavikar of Yeshua Ben Levi, the Besamach Damar Anava Gedula Mikulan. Okay, so that excuse me, that the Gemara Yerushalmi obviously must be going like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, where Anava is above all. Okay, so again, so the Brice of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, teaching us how basically to move from one level to the next in terms of our religious development, in terms of our characteristic development, basically how to keep refining ourselves until we become purer and purer. And again, highly recommended along with this Gemara, of course, is Mesil Sesharim, who spends an entire Sefer dedicated to this topic. Ein Mochrin Lahem. Okay, let's finish up. Okay, the Gemara over here describes now the end of the Mishnah, and that is, look, we know we're not allowed to sell property to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. Lo sechaneim, as we already learned in the Amud Aleph of today's daf, you're not allowed to sell them property. How about selling them things that are detached from the ground? That's fine, says the Mishnah, but it's a machlokas in the Mishnah whether they are currently detached, or even if we're almanas, even if we plan on detaching them, would that be okay? And that was a machlokas in the Mishnah, and the Gemara here discusses. Ein mochrin lechule tanu rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Mochrin lem ilan almanas lakotz vikotzeit, divrei Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, as long as it's part of the sale is the condition that we're going to cut off the tree, you can sell the tree. Even as the tree is currently connected to the ground, as long as it's almanas, that's fine. Rabbi Meir Omer ein mochrin lehem ela kitzutza. And Rabbi Meir says, no, it has to be cut. If it's not cut, you're not allowed to sell to them. Shachas almanas legzoz vigozez, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Shachas is a grain that has not yet fully ripened. Generally speaking, the shachas is given to the animals to eat. So again, it's the same machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says that even though it's not cut yet, as long as you're selling it almanas, that's fine. Rabbi Meir Omer, ein mochrin lehem ela gizuza. And Rabbi Meir says, no, it has to be already cut. Then and only then can you sell it to the guy, but not almanas. And finally, kama. Kama is where the grain has reached full growth. So then, almanas liksor v'kotzer div Rabbi Yehuda. Again, Rabbi Yehuda allows for the sale, even though it's not yet cut, as long as you plan on cutting it, so that would be good. Rabbi Meir Omer, ein mochrin ela kitzura. And Rabbi Meir says that you can only sell it only after it's cut. And so basically now, the machlok is said over three different times in three different ways. Utsricha. And the Gemara now points out that all three of them are necessary. De'iyash minan ilan. Because if all we had was a debate regarding the tree, so then, Bahakama Rab Meir, Kevin Delo Pasid, Mashile. So there's no pseda. So Rab Meir's worried that I'm just going to let the tree sit there. And even though we made a stipulation that I'm only going to sell to you almanas, but I'm not going to lose if I don't cut it. So then I may not cut it, and I've sold the tree to the guy, and we may never cut it. And that's what he's concerned about. Avahai dechimashile pasid. But over here, if we are talking about grains, so if I just leave it in the ground, I'm never going to want to leave it in the ground. It's not good. And I mean, ultimately, we know that these things are going to be cut. Ema modu le Rav Yehuda. So over there, maybe Rav Meir agrees to Rav Yehuda that a condition that we're going to cut it, the condition is going to be met. And the Gemara says, and look, as far as these things, meaning the grains, are concerned, so we really don't know the shevach. We don't know its appreciated value. Aval shachas the yada shevchayu. But when it comes to shachas, where there I can easily appraise it. Ema modil le Rav Meir. So I might have thought that we would agree to Rav Meir because we know that it is going to appreciate once I leave it in the ground. So therefore, maybe Rav Yehuda would agree to Rav Meir that even when I say almanas, I should be worried that we're going to leave it in the ground. And then the Gemara just simply says, and then you simply say the opposite, meaning that by the tree, I might say that Rav Meir would agree to Rav Yehuda. So therefore, I need those cases. Ibai luhu. Behema amanas lishchot mahu. So the Gemara says, what about an animal? Now, as we learned already previously in this parak, you're not allowed to sell livestock to a guy. It's one of the rabbinic prohibitions, and we already discussed at length what are the necessary concerns about selling livestock, but the issur is you're not allowed to sell large livestock to a guy. What if you sell it amanas lishchot? Okay, so is that going to be okay? Ha, sometime am I shari Rabbi Yehuda delab birushusei kaime. So the Gemara says, look, when you're selling a tree to a guy, and you say, I'm an aslixor. So in other words, you're not selling him the property, you're selling him the tree. So at any point after the sale, you could simply say to him, okay, I know it's your tree, but that's my land. So you're going to cut that tree. So therefore, the al-manas condition can easily be kept. But when you're talking about an animal, even if I contract and said, I'm selling you this animal, but only on condition that you shecht it, but once I sell him the animal is now his. His decision to shecht it is strictly his decision.
But all those concerns that he had about Erish, about sale, and
no, that's why you can't sell him the animal. But what the Gemara is now entertaining is that it's an almanas. I'm selling it to him on condition. Maybe that should make it okay. Because the Shabbos considerations is that as long as the animal's alive, the animal's going to work. But over here, I sold it to him on condition that we're going to shecht it. Okay. Odilma loshna. Or maybe no. Maybe as much as Rav Yehuda in our discussion allows for an almanas consideration, maybe for the animal as well. Tashma detanya be'em almanas lishcha v'shochei div Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir Omer emochim lo el shchuta. And the Gemara tells us a brisa, and the brisa says very clearly that, yes, there is a machlokis by animals as well, meaning just like Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are debating trees and fodder and grains in terms of whether or not an almanas condition works in the sale, same thing is true regarding animal. They are arguing about an almanas as well. Stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.